Good morning. You can hear me good. Guys, I'm so excited to be here with you this morning and thrilled to share what is on my heart. We are continuing our series on Philippians. We are in round six, and today we're going to be talking about anxiety and joy. You've been seeing those posters, right, with the boxing guys, anxiety versus joy. Today, joy is going to win. Today, we are going to get very practical, and I'm so very excited about that. If the ushers could come, if you need a Bible or a set of our notes for today, you will actually need these for later on in the sermon. So please grab one of these if you didn't get one already. Something to write with if you need a Bible. And if this is your first time here, we're so grateful that you're here. We have a gift of coffee for you. Can you just raise your hand and someone will bring you a bag of coffee? Yeah, that's a good first-time gift. It's like a whole pound, I think, maybe half pound. I don't know. Anyway, today we are going to look at a remarkably encouraging passage. It's very, very practical. Unto peace and joy. And how many of us could use a little more peace and joy in our lives? Especially after like the last year and a half, right? It's time. It's time for some peace and joy. If you have your Bible here today or you're using one of ours, we're in Philippians chapter 4 in one of the red Bibles. That's page 820. A report issued by Mental Health in America revealed that the number of people reaching out for help with anxiety increased by 93%. In the first 7 months of the pandemic over the previous year, over 2019. And undoubtedly, those numbers have continued to rise. We just know it, right? We see it, we feel it. It is a very real issue, anxiety today. So I hope that you will be filled up for this fight that we are in with anxiety. I want to pray for us, and then we'll dive in, okay? God, we need your peace and your joy today. I'd say some of us, Lord, are just downright desperate for it. Lord, I pray that you would mentor us and guide us today in your peace, in your joy. God, I pray that we would walk in such a way that welcomes your joy in our lives. And bless us, Lord, with your spirit and with your presence, Lord, the source of joy and peace. God, we need it today. Amen. So throughout Philippians, this theme of joy has come up several times, right? If you've been here the last several weeks, we've been talking about, I think it's come up every single Sunday in every single chapter. But today, Paul isn't talking about it in theory. He gives us handles. He gives us really, really practical tools to approach anxiety with. He gives us something that we can grab onto. And he has four main instructions in this passage, and this is what we're going to unpack today. Number one, settle your disagreements. Number two, be full of joy in the Lord. Number three, don't worry. Number four, fix your thoughts. So let's dive in. We'll start with number one. Settle your disagreements. Verse 1 of chapter 4, we'll start reading there. Look at this with me. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and I long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now I appeal to Yoda and Sintaichi. I did it. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. That's the part right there. That's the main line right there. Settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help those two women, for they worked hard with me, telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the book of life. Okay, so he's talking to these two ladies, Euoda and Sintaichi, right? And he's saying, please, he's pleading with them, settle your disagreements. It doesn't say what they were in disagreement about. My guess, it was probably like presidential politics or vaccines or something like that. And it wasn't doctrinal, because we know Paul has no problem giving his opinion on doctrine, right? But whatever it was important to Euoda and Syntyche, right? And so, so he's pleading with them, please settle this disagreement. You know, I witnessed something really special here at church, actually. I think it was a few months ago. I was standing in the lobby talking to a friend, as I so often do after church, and we were just chatting it up, and another lady that I know comes up, and they give each other like a big hug, and they're not married to each other. They were having a moment. They were apologizing, and they were, yeah, we're not going to let this mess up our friendship. And I was sort of just standing there, and it was happening right in front of me, and I'm like, I just saw something really real. Like, I was wondering, what happened? What are they, why are they apologizing to each other? And my friend, he said, you know what that was all about? And I said, no, I don't know what that was all about. He's like, we got into it big time over vaccines this week. But we are determined that this is not going to divide our friendships. We are determined that that we are going to love each other as brother and sister in Christ. Oh my gosh, I was so glad I witnessed that. I was like, this is how the grown-ups do it right here. This is how it is done. We don't let these little things that seek to divide us, that would love nothing more than to isolate us from one from another. We're not going to let it separate us and break us apart. You know, Paul here, he uses the language, the words, my dear brothers and sisters. And I believe that is incredibly intentional. He doesn't say friends. Friends come and go, right? Friends, you pick those. You don't pick your brother and sister. Friends will come and go. My dad would always say this to my siblings and I. Friends will come and go, but your brother and sister, they will always be your brother and sister. And it's true. And that's the kind of commitment here and the kind of warmth and affection we need toward one another to settle these disagreements, to get through it. Is that not applicable to our time? Are we feeling that this morning? Good. I think one of the reasons why it's so important that we heed this, settle your disagreements, is because when we don't, we become isolated. And I think that is a breeding ground for anxiety. We can see that even throughout the pandemic, people alone in their houses all day, all night, and it's caused so much anxiety. So let's settle our disagreements. Amen? That's number one. Number two, you'll have to excuse me, I'm getting over a sinus infection today. That's why I'm trying to like take the mic away when I clear my throat. Try not to be too annoying with that. Okay, so number two, here we go. Be full of joy in the Lord. The key phrase there in my mind is in the Lord. This is an acknowledgement of the source of joy. It comes in the Lord. It comes in salvation, but it also comes in walking in his ways. Psalm 16 says that in your presence there is fullness of joy. It's in him and him alone that we have our joy. And this is why here at church we spend so much time talking about talking about being aware of God's presence and engaging in practices that make us more aware of God's presence and teach us more of who he is and being intentional about those things. And when we try to find joy outside of the presence of God and outside of him, the best we get in reality is fleeting happiness. Isn't that right? It's found in the Lord. And I would even say that much of our anxiety and even much of our sin comes because we first believe a lie about what we think will make us happy. Our joy is firstly and lastly in the Lord. That's the key phrase. And then Paul here, he follows up this encouragement to be full of joy with another tip. Let's read it in verse 4. He says this, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. We know this one, right? And then he goes on to say, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. That word, considerate there, it's a tricky one to translate from the original language. Sometimes it's translated as gentle or yielding, kind, forbearing. And the English attempts to translate this word don't quite do it justice, because involved in it is a willingness to yield one's personal rights in the consideration of others. Coupled with our joy is a willingness to humbly serve others. And doesn't this reminds me of what we were just talking about in chapter 2, when Jesus took on the very form of a servant and he made himself less, because the joy, like it says in Hebrews, that was set before him, he endured the cross. He was that humble servant. Coupled with our joy in the Lord is acts of humble service. I kind of wonder if, in part, if that's why parenting brings so much joy. It's because you, like, lay down your life for those kiddos unlike anything else, right? And even though it's hard, that it's good. And the joy comes in that. So always be full of joy. That was number 2. And remember, the source of joy is in the Lord. Number 3. Don't worry. Let's read starting in verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Doesn't that almost feel a little oversimplistic? We love to analyze our worries and our anxieties, don't we? We like to view them from every angle. We like them to be very complex and difficult and more difficult than somebody else's, right? Sometimes, I mean, I'm just being honest. And something that Paul is inviting us into here is so beautifully relational that we can just give our worries to God in prayer. Some years ago, I remember I was in a season of anxiety and worry, and I really feel like I was probably around 2018. And I was verbally processing this with my husband, Rich, who most of you in here know, as I so often do. And I was just trying to give myself a pep talk. Do you ever do that? I feel like I do that a lot. And it was not working. It was more like a shame fest than a pep talk. And I remember saying to him, Jesus says, don't worry, and I just can't not worry. Like, I can't stop. What's wrong with me? It's a sin. You know, that's what I said. It's a sin. And he just had the right thing to say. That doesn't always happen, but in this particular instance, it really happened, because I remember it. He said to me, I think you are reading that in the wrong tone. Jesus said, come to me. Don't worry, come to me. It's an invitation, not a demand, to lay your burdens at his feet. It's a relational invitation at that, to come. Hey, come to me. Let's talk about it. Come to God. Everything in prayer. There is no anxiety too petty for him. There is no worry too complicated for him. Come to him in prayer. That is the beautiful tone that we can come to the Lord. Amen? We can come to him and say, Lord, help me. It is truly that simple, and it's relational. So don't worry is invitational and relational. Amen to that. That was number 3. We're coming down the home stretch here. We're heading up to number 4. And I think in some ways this one is the most important. It's number four is fix your thoughts. It's our final round of this boxing battle between anxiety and joy. I'm not going to be any help with boxing illustrations. I'm just, honestly. This place, our thoughts, I think it's more, it's kind of like the Normandy D-Day battle between anxiety and joy. It is where this battle happens, right? In our thoughts. And I think it is the most important aspect of the fight. This is largely based on my own experience and just as I've talked with friends about it over the years. And this is what Paul says. We're in verse 8, if you're following along. This is going to be familiar. If you grew up in church, you've memorized this verse in probably the NIV, if you're about my age. I'm reading New Living Today. It says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." So let's talk about this for a minute. We're going to spend a little bit more time on this section. Fixing our thoughts. The mental muscle required to fix our thoughts may be the collectively the weakest muscle, the weakest of all muscles. Distraction is a generational marker these days, is it not? Our attention, where we fix our thoughts, is in high demand by everyone from marketers to worship-seeking entertainers to the enemy of our souls who would seek to lure us into what we think will bring us peace and joy, but in reality results in anxiety and depression. Your attention is the new economy. They, advertisers, attention seekers, the enemy, often care more about what you are thinking than you care about what you are thinking. I just want that to sink in. There is a great effort taking place all around you to siphon off your attention. And this is where we, in this time that we live in this place, where we need to develop mental muscle like never before. And we can. And Paul, this is what Paul is calling us to not merely think about whatever comes into view, but to fix our thoughts and be aware and intentional of what we are thinking about and how we are thinking about it. So at the top of Paul's list here, he has to fix our thoughts on whatever is true, and I don't think that's an accident. I said this before, I want to say it again right here. Much of our anxiety, and our sin even, comes because we believe a lie about what we think will make us happy. So Paul's encouragement to have some intentionality about our thoughts, we need to think about what it is we spend our time thinking about. Is it even true? Some of the things that we fixate on, and I am saying this from personal experience, some of the things we fixate on and the thoughts that we sort of ruminate on, they aren't even true. Let me give you an example. Do I have anybody in high school or junior high in the house? Students, maybe college students. Okay, good. So here's an example of thoughts full of lies. If I don't get a good grade on this test, I won't go to college of choice. I probably won't get a good grade on this test. I must be dumb. If I don't go to this college, I'll be a total failure and I just won't be happy, and then everyone will know that I'm dumb. How many layers of lies were there? That was like 5 or 10 layers, right? So many lies. And those of us who are a little older with some perspective in that category know that's just a bunch of baloney, right? But if we're honest, whether we're young or old, we can go down rabbit holes of lies full or thoughts full of lies ourselves. And what we're invited into is something more like this. This test, thinking about a test is not wrong, right? So I think it's important to say right here that when we're talking about fixing our thoughts, we're not just talking about, oh, think happy thoughts. This is different, you know, because that's like a denial of reality if you're like chasing rainbows and daisies and unicorns. We're living in the real world here, right? So we're fixing our thoughts. It's how we think about things. So here's an example to the one that I just gave of something that we're invited to. This test is going to be hard, but I know I can study. See, and there's a school of thought that would say, you just have to manifest your reality, right? Have you guys heard that? It's sort of like somehow devoid of work or suffering or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about here. I know I can study. God, help me focus on my work. Lord, I feel stressed about this test. Give me your peace. Lord, as I take this test, help me to remember. Whatever the outcome, I trust you. Do you see the difference here? In this stream of prayer or consciousness, there is more of what is true, more of what is good, more of what is honorable in the discussion. And I hope that wherever stage of life you're in, you can kind of understand what I'm getting at here. I really wanted something for the young kids today. Here's another way of looking at it, and this is my final example for you today. If you can think about your thoughts for a moment, and I want you to picture what's directly in front of you, say about 60 degrees. Okay. Something about that. So that's one section. That's your focus area. Then on either side, you have the periphery. And then behind you, you have discard. It's what lies behind. This is something that's personally helpful to me, and I'm hoping that it'll be practical for you. So a thought comes, and if it's a lie, we got to throw it in the discard pile, right? It's out there. There's no room for that. I play cards, this game called Five Crowns with my kids, and when I pick up my card and it's not what I want and I'm close to winning and I'm really irritated, I throw it down and say, you're worthless to me. Or sometimes I throw it behind, you're worthless to me. There's a lot of thoughts that come every day that we need to be like, you're worthless to me, and just it's out of there, right? And then there's things that we have to think about, right? Things that we do. What is in our focus? It's the people we love, right? The work that is ours to do that God has called us to. It's the little things and the big things. When something comes into focus that maybe it's not time for it to be there. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's an important thing even, but it's not supposed to take up all the mental energy. This is things that we're putting that in the periphery. And sometimes I have to do it like 10 times. Nope, that's going in the periphery. I do it in prayer. Lord, this thing about my future that I'm worried about, that I'm sort of obsessing over, I'm going to set that over here, Lord. It's not going to be in full view, but you have it over here. You have it in your care over here. I set it over there, and that's how I sort of take those thoughts, even the important ones, that it's not time. It's not time for those, and I put them to the side. I often will put a page in every journal, the list of things that God has got. I write that at the top. And when I have a concern, a friend or a family member or something that's heavy, Afghanistan, right? Something that's, it's in my view constantly, and I know I need to give it to the Lord, I write it on that list. So-and-so. So some of your names are on there when I'm praying for you. Or my future. I think about that a lot. Don't you guys? So put it in the periphery. It's like peripheral prayer. And it is an act of prayer that I do. I literally set it to the side. Friends, being strong in our minds is not just thinking smart thoughts or having a lot of knowledge. It is knowing what to think and when to think it. So verse 9, says this. We're about to wrap up here. Keep putting into practice all you have learned. Then the God of peace will be with you. This is, again, an invitation to practice. Joy isn't something that we just, it kind of gets dumped on us. We walk it out. We practice it. And today we're going to do that. We're going to get really practical. If you could pull out the notes that you were given under practical practice, I have here 4 points for you, and I'm going to guide you through right now some application, how to practice this in your life. And maybe choose one, maybe choose two. It's up to you. This simple how to live in joy and peace, and we need it. We need to embrace it for the health of our souls, and even as resistance to the enemy who would try to steal our joy. So, let's keep it practical. Let me just pray, and then we'll go through these quickly. Jesus, give us grace. Lord, help us to walk this out in you. Amen. So the first point, we talked about settling our disagreements. Is there someone in your life that you need to settle with? Maybe you need to walk up to somebody and give them a hug today and say you're sorry, I was kind of being a stinker or a jerk or whatever. Make a note of that, number one. Is there someone there? Number two, be full of joy in the Lord. Have you been relying on another source for your joy? And the action here is to identify that lesser source of joy. And then a practice, put it in a practice in its place that puts Jesus as the focus. We were talking about this verse a few weeks ago at Women's Bible Study, just happened to be, and Tasha Van Vliet and I hope I didn't ask her if I could say this, but she'll be okay if you know her. We were talking about fixing our thoughts, and I pulled out my phone, and I looked at my screen time. You guys know what I'm talking about? That's on Apple phones. And I had been on Instagram for like 5 hours that week, and I was like, that's what I'm talking about. The death scroll, what is there that's siphoning off your attention? How do we minimize that this week? Number three, don't worry, instead pray about everything. What is at the top of your mind? I think Nate asked that question a few weeks ago. What's at the top of your mind right now? What is worrying you? Write it down in a word or two on number three. And then circle it and draw an arrow to it and write, God's got this. God's got this. Got to remember that. Number four, fix your thoughts on whatever is true and honorable, etc. Fix your thoughts. Be aware, this is the action, be aware of where your attention is and redirect. Maybe there's a particular time of day that is difficult or habits that direct your attention. This kind of goes back to the death scroll or oversaturation of the news, those sort of things. How will you redirect this week? It's helpful to just say, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, you know, be on death scroll Instagram for 5 hours. But you got to have something in its place, right? It's not just about getting rid of something, but you've got to fill it with something that's good. So what is good? What is true and honorable? Put that in its place. Amen? Guys, I hope this has been helpful and practical this week. We wanted this particular sermon in this series to be just that, to be practical. It's easy to talk about things in theory sometimes, but I hope you will circle one or two of the things that we just went through and practice them this week in your life, just as Paul has encouraged us to do.